Why don't we pray and then we will read our Bibles together. God, we thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, that you talk to us when we read your word. So I pray, God, that your spirit would make your word come alive. Jesus, I pray that you would make us love you and know you and want to be like you as we read. In your name we pray. Amen. So, we are at the end of Galatians. We've been here. Actually, the number I have is 24. So, this is the 24th message. Good thing we didn't do Romans, right? I'm waiting a couple years for that, so we'll see. We'll see what God says. So just a quick overview where we've been, where we've gotten to. The big question that Paul was answering in this book is, what makes you good? What makes you just? What makes you worthy, especially before God? What do you find your worth and your value and your identity in? And the two different options that he puts out throughout the book are, it can either be through your works, what you do, or through what Christ has done. You can either find your worth and your identity in what you do, and by the way, he goes into this, and we looked at this in detail, it's never enough. You can never do enough. There's always more to be done, and there's always the bad that we've done in the past that we can't undo. Our works will never make us right before the Father, but, and this is the glorious part of the book that he puts out before us, that because of what Christ did, because of what Christ did when he lived a perfect life and died an undeserved death and then was raised from the dead, when we enter into Christ, we receive his perfection and we receive the forgiveness of our sins and we receive the promise that we too will rise and live with him forever. We are made perfect before the Father in Christ. And in the same way that works cannot justify us in Christ, we can be completely justified and perfect before the Father, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done, and we can be free then. And this is what he spent the last part of the book telling us. We can be free from condemnation and obligation, but also free to love each other and free to love God. And free to be transformed by the Spirit, and free to kill our flesh, and free to live like the new people that in Christ we are. And then at the very end, he ends with the same question, looking at the same question that he's looked at through the whole book. So if you go to Galatians 6, verse 11 through 18, we're going to read the last section together today. He ends with the same question, talks about the same theme, and he applies it specifically to what he's been talking about in Galatians, and I think he opens it up a little bit broader to apply it a little bit bigger to do all of the things in our life in which we try to find our value and our identity. Read with me. In verse 11, he says, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but that they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor incircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen." He starts out in verse 9 saying, what I wrote to y'all is important. This is important. This is, verse 11, he says, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." The rest of this letter is probably dictated to someone, whether it was because of eyesight reasons or because of all the beatings that he had. He just couldn't write the way he used to be able to, and so he likely dictated the letter verbatim to someone who wrote it down. And then at the very end, he grabs the pen. Didn't have pen. He grabbed the little, what's the feather thing? Yeah, whatever they used to write with that wasn't a pen. He grabbed that from the guy who was taking his dictation, and he wrote this last part. And I think it emphasizes two things. One, he's saying, this was important. This is really important. What I'm telling you here is important. So important that I'm going to give you just a recap of what I've told you in the whole book. And I'm going to write it myself, even though it's whether I can't see clearly to write. So look at these horrible writing like a little child, or because I've been beaten so much, my nerves aren't working. Whatever the reason, I'm not writing very well. But I want you to know this is coming directly from me. This is really, really important. And this wasn't just, and then he goes on to write for a paragraph or two, and he's writing at great cost to himself, and so he's saying this is important. This isn't just a throwaway. I mean, I don't know, when you read the letters like the Paul writes, I tend, my instinct has always been just, I breeze over the first part, I breeze over the last part. It's like, hello, how are you doing? Okay, grace and peace to you. And then at the end, you know, grace and peace. And I kind of blow over, just breeze through it, get to the real good stuff. But Paul is writing this himself at some kind of personal cost, and he's saying, this is important. So what is he saying that's so important? Well, he goes back to the same problem. Look at verse 12 and 13. It is those who would want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. And so circumcision is the Jewish ritual that the Judaizers, probably from Jerusalem, who had come into Galatia, were trying to make the people who were Christians do, the Gentile Christians do, what we looked at earlier in the book. They're saying, if you're going to be a good Christian, you first have to be a good Jew, and good Jewish males are circumcised, so you got to get circumcised, you have to have a surgery to be a Christian, you have to get circumcised, and then you got to obey the law, and then we'll talk about it from there, and then you can, you know, be in Christ and all the rest of that stuff. But you got to be a good Jew first. You have to keep the law. And look at what he says. They're doing it because of external appearances. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised. He says they're making you do it for external appearances, so that you look good on the outside, so that it looks like okay, they're good little Jewish people, and then they're good little Christians, and so it looks like they're obeying the law perfectly, and so ultimately, look at the end of verse 12, who would force you to be circumcised only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. He's saying that they're doing it because they don't want people to criticize them, so they're making you get an unnecessary surgery so that you look like you're obeying the law, and so that they don't get criticized. They're concerned with external appearances, and they're finding, looking in verse 13, for even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. They're glorying in, they're boasting in, they're works. They're finding their value and their identity in what they're making these other people do, in the works of other people. And throughout this whole series, we've been talking about finding our value in our own works and how that doesn't, not to use the same word over and over again, that doesn't work. But now Paul is taking a step further. He said they're actually trying to find their value in what they're making you do. They're finding their glorying in what they're making you do. It's finding our worth in external things and how well we behave and how well we obey. And so you think about it. So what are some of the things that even today that we base our worth in, and that we base our worth in even making other people do? And how many times do we want to look a certain way or do things a certain way in church or with Christianity, not necessarily because we even are convinced that it's from God, but because, well, we know that people will look at us and think that we're good Christians and even more, not criticize us. And if other people in our church are doing things in this way, well, that might not be wrong and it might actually be biblical, But I don't want to be criticized. And what if somebody visits from this other church and then they're going to say this and then we might as well just toe the line over here, because then we're not going to get criticized. We're going to find our worth in how well we fulfill religious obligations and customs. And then he says, look in verse 12, it doesn't work. It is only those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law. See, it doesn't work. Even when we try to find our value in our own good works, especially our own religious works, and doing things the right way, the way we've always done them, and making other people do that, we can't find our value before God in that, because we're not obeying Him perfectly. I can do everything perfectly, and then I have this really bad attitude as I'm driving home, and impatience is coming up in me, or stress is coming up in me, and I'm not honoring God with my attitude and then with my words to my family as I'm driving. See, no matter how well we obey, it's never enough. Paul says it's never enough. You can't find your value in what you do. And then he presents this alternative, and I love this verse. I wanted to just look at this verse, but the last 2 weeks we've been doing one-verse sermons, so I thought it was time to get her done, just finish it up. So, but this is the verse. But far be it from me, verse 14, to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. So I'm not going to boast. I'm not going to glory in anything. I'm not going to find my worth and my identity in anything. I'm not going to find my value in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. He's saying, I only find my value and my worth and my identity in the cross of Christ, in Jesus, in what Jesus did. And so then the question is, what do you base your identity and your value in? So you see, when he says, I only will boast in the cross, he's been talking about finding our value in religious obligations and religious, fulfilling religious rules and moral codes. But then when he says, I only will boast in the Christ, I think he forces us to take a step back and say, okay, what? Not just religious stuff, but in general, what do you find your worth in? What do you boast in? What do you glory in your life? What gives you value? What makes you someone who at the end of the day can look in the mirror and say, I'm happy with myself? What do you chase after? What do you chase after? Because see, we all glory in something. We all find our worth and our value in something. And maybe as we've been going through Galatians, and even now at the end, you've said, well, I don't find my worth in who I am, in my identity, in my value, in my religious, fulfilling religious obligations. I go to a church and I like how we do things and I think we're biblical, and so I have a good relationship with God, but I don't find my worth in that. I actually find it in something else. And when Paul says, I only will boast of the cross of Christ, that only word is a very exclusive word. So we take a step back and say, okay, what do I boast in? And when I've always read this verse, as, even as a child, like this is like, you know, boasting. It's like being prideful. That's not as much what he's talking about. He's saying, what do I glory in? What do I find my worth and my value in? What makes me who I am? We find and we look and we search for our value and identity in a myriad of different places. For some people, it's romance. It's finding that special person or having that special person. For some people, it's pleasure. For others, it's family. I am my family, and how my family goes is how my worth is determined. For others of us, it's our achievements, whether it's our education or sports or work achievements. For others of us, it's our intellect. I shouldn't say us. For some of y'all, it's your intellect. Very presumptuous to include myself among that group. For some of us, it's religious. It's religious things. It's my religion. It's my faith. That's where I find my value. For some of us, it's our money and our possessions. Take everything away, but don't take what I have, because that's who I am. For some of us, it's hobbies. That's what defines us. And for some of us, like these people that Paul is talking about. It's what defines me is what I can make other people do. How well my kids behave, or how well my spouse behaves, or how well I'm able to exert influence at work or among my friends. I find my value in what I make other people do. What is yours? What makes you who you are? What gives worth to your life? What is your identity based on? This is a really important question, because Paul says, I only glory in the cross of Christ. I only boast in the cross of Christ. Well, I find all of my worth, who I am in the cross of Christ. But see, you and I find our worth, who we are, in so many other places. We chase after these things. We go after them, and we want to achieve them. We agonize. How do you know what you find your worth in? What do you agonize about when you don't have it? When you wish that things were just like this in your life? What do you have when things are just right in your life and you can't, nothing can mess with this, because if something messes with this, then who am I? Sometimes it's our job. So let's take that example. It's this is my career. This is what I do. And if I were to get fired from my job, who would I be? I wouldn't know. I would have to start all over. I would be completely lost. What is that thing for you? It becomes the center of who we are. It's what makes us stress out. It's what makes us proud. It's what makes us, well, what is yours? What do you have your hopes and dreams put on? And whatever it is, doesn't work. It never brings us peace. It never makes us complete, because most of the time, we never achieve it, and we're always going after it, and we never quite have it, and so we're never quite complete, because who I am is that, and I don't quite have that, or I get that, and then I lose that, or I finally achieve it all. You know, you read those stories of people who it seems they have everything, whether it's family or however the story paints it, it's family, or they've career or money, and then they commit suicide, or they just blow everything away, and because they're not happy. It's like, well, why aren't they happy? It's because even when we get what we most want, what we think would fulfill us and make us happy, it's never enough. And the big idea here, when Paul says, I only boast in the cross of Christ, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of Christ, I only glory in the cross of Christ. What's he saying? True worth and complete identity can only be found in the cross, can only be found in Jesus, can only be found in being in Christ and in what his cross gives us. This rescues you and I from the vanity of life. Because when we are able to put our worth in what Jesus did in the cross and find who I am in what he says that I am because of what he did and in what he gives me because of what he did, that is true worth. That is a real identity. That is something that I can have completely today. That is something that I can never lose. That is something that I will always be enough for me. See, that is something that we can boast in, that we can glory in, that can fulfill us. And that's the message of the book. And so Paul grabs the pen at the end and says, I got to write this down. This is where I find my identity. This is where I find my worth. This is what I boast in. How do we glory in the cross? How do we do it? He gives a couple points at the end. I think it starts by what he says in the end of verse 14. Because see, when I think about what I base my value in, and for me it's my job, it's my family, it's finding some sense of financial stability. It's what I do on Sundays in front of y'all and downtown. That's what I base my value in. And if I can't do that anymore, if things go sideways with my marriage or my kids, if things go sideways at work, if I get my house foreclosed on, then I get really stressed out. I imagine I would. Thinking about that makes me really stressed out. It's, who am I? Who would I be? So the question for us is, how do we find our worth in the cross? How do we find who we are in the cross so that we can work and we can raise our families and we can be good people and we can enjoy hobbies and we can have things, but we never find our worth in those? So we can say with Paul, I only boast in the cross of Christ. How does that happen? Look at the end of verse 14. Except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. See, Paul lived and he worked and he was a normal person. Well, normal, you know, in parentheses, but he did normal things. But he says, all that's been crucified to me. What's he saying? I don't find my worth in that. I don't glory in that. Yeah, I wrote half of the New Testament. Never saw him glorying in that, finding his worth in that. Never saw his worth in what he did. It was only in Jesus. So the way that we find our worth in Christ starts by rejecting whatever we find our worth in right now. So that means for me saying, I am not, and then you fill in the blank. And what is that for you? It starts by you confessing and say, I am not that. I do that. I have this. I every day I get up and I give myself to this, but I am not that. Who am I? I'm what Jesus says that I am. I am who Jesus says I am because of the cross. I am not that. And then it's only finding our worth in the cross. And how do we do that? We find our identity and our value in what Jesus did, because he paid the price for me and he made me a son of God and he accepted me and he made me perfect before his eyes and he gave me an eternal inheritance and he freed me from darkness and he brought me into the kingdom of light. He gave me an eternal mission and purpose. And then Paul goes down and says in verse 15, and he just hammers us home. He makes us new. He says, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor incircumcision, but a new creation. So it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter. Well, it does matter what you do, but he's saying it doesn't make you who you are. What you do doesn't make you who you are. It's being a new person, being made new. Going back to John 3, being born again by water and the Spirit, being made a new person. That's what counts. That's what gives our life value. It's not what we do. It's who God has made us on the inside. And when God makes you new and he makes you his child, listen, there's nothing that can compare to that. And there's nothing you can do in life that can give you more identity or more worth than being God's dearly beloved, accepted child. That is the most valuable identity and the most valuable thing that you can be. In verse 16, and as for all who walk by this rule, grace and peace be upon them and upon the Israel of God. As for all who walk by this rule, in other words, as for all who find their identity in the cross of Christ, for all of us who say, I want to find who I am, my worth. I don't want my worth to be defined by my family and how well my kids turn out and how happy I am. And I don't want my worth to be defined by my job, and I don't want my worth to be defined by my church, I want my worth to be defined by the cross. He says, for all those who follow that rule, who find their worth in the cross, peace and mercy be upon them. Peace, why? God's peace, because we don't have to feel like there's always more we have to do. We can rest in our Savior, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and he has done it. We don't have to do it. Peace and mercy. He reminds us God gives us his help. He gives us his blessing. He does what we can't do. We receive his mercy when we search for identity in Christ and in the cross. And then in verse 17, this is like tired Paul, grumpy Paul. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear in my body the marks of Christ. He says, let it go. Let it go. This is enough with finding your worth and how well you behave, and find your worth in the cross. This is what it's about. Don't stop bothering because of this. And then in verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. It says the grace of Jesus, are what we receive from God that we don't deserve. If you're God's child, you didn't deserve that. If you're forgiven, you didn't earn that. If God has given you a promise of an eternity with him and the new heaven and new earth, you didn't deserve that. You never will. That's his grace. If God is giving you his Spirit and he's changing you from the inside out, you don't deserve that. We don't deserve anything that God gives us. That's his grace. And so Paul ends by saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. We are supposed to be people who, in our spirit, at our heart level, are filled by this knowledge that I am who I am because of what God has chosen to do in me, because God has been very good to me. That makes me who I am. That gives me my worth. That should fill our spirit, and we should live in light of that reality. So what should we do as we end this book of Galatians? We should fight to find our identity and our worth in Christ. We should always be fighting for that. What does that mean? How do we do that, practically speaking? Let me give you just a couple practical things. One, if you haven't entered into Christ, if you haven't given yourself to Him, if you haven't surrendered to Jesus, this is an invitation for you to say, I will give myself to Jesus. I will let Him be my Lord, and I will let Him be my Savior. I will repent and be baptized. I will become His child. I will let Him pour out His grace on me. And what happens when you do that is then you are free to say, I'm no longer what I do. I am no longer who I was. I am God's child, and I'm perfect before His eyes, and He loves me. And in this community, when you're ready to find your worth and your identity in Jesus for the first time by giving yourself to Him and surrendering to Him, just tell someone. They'll walk you through the process of repenting and being baptized. If you've already made that decision, you say, well, what do I do now? How do I keep trying to find my worth and my value in what Jesus did and not what I do? And how do I find... It's a two-part process for us, and it's a continual battle. We have to say, well, where do I find my worth? What defines me in life? Okay, I have to reject that. You have to say, I am not that. And we have to tell ourselves, I am not that. That does not define me. I do that. I am with these people. I do these activities. That is not who I am. And then we have to find our value in Christ. We have to remember the cross. We have to glory in the cross. We have to meditate on what God has done for us. We have to thank Him. You know, that's one of the reasons why we read the Bible, so we could be reminded of what Jesus has done for us. That's why, if you're God's child, every day we should open our Bibles and remind ourselves again, this is who I am. This is what God has done for me. This is why in when we're driving, we should roll up our windows and sing and remember what God has done for us. This is why we talk to God and we confess to Him, I'm not finding my worth in You. Would You change me? Would You change me? Let's be a people who find our value and our identity in the cross and not in what we do. Why don't we stand up and we will pray together and then we'll sing. God, we come to You right now and we thank You because You are so very good to us. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for accepting and forgiving and adopting. Thank You for making us new. God, I pray that You would show us what it is for each one of us that defines who we are, and that You would help us reject finding our worth in that, and that we would only define ourselves, that we would fight to only define ourselves by what You have done for us, by who You have made us, so that we can say with Paul, I will only boast in the cross of Christ. That's what I glory in. That's what makes me who I am. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.